My name's Damien Thompson. I lead the Shallow Reefs program, and we haven't got a star bug, unfortunately, but we've got a Mick, a Cindy, an Anna, and a Mel. So in the last 12 months, we've set about trying to combine some of the data sets that we have within the program and also integrate a little bit better with the Deep Reefs program. And I'll be talking about some of that work that we've started to try to come up with a carbon budget for Northern Ningaloo, our study locations. So we probably see the three unique aspects of the Shallow Reef program. Firstly, extending the long-term data set for fish, corals and invertebrates on the reef flat. So by global standards, even national standards, it's not particularly long. It only goes back to 2006, the CSIRO data set. But in terms of WA coral reefs, it's fairly significant. We're secondly trying to provide critical baseline data for these same groups in the less well-studied areas, so that for us is the reef slope down to about 12, 13 metres. And that's sort of that what we're seeing now is that's the transition zone between the deep reef work that Russ is running and the more traditional shallow reef work. And as mentioned, trying to integrate these physical and biological data sets. So firstly, the ones that we have within the Shallow Reefs program, then also with things like the Deep Reefs program, and included in that are things like our the wave models, so physical models as well. So carbonate budgets, that's something we've just sort of started to have a bit of a look at. And effectively, a carbonate budget, we see it as the balance between production and erosion. So on one side, we have our major calcifiers, our producers of hard corals, calcifying algaes and the like. And then on the other side of the scale are the bioeroders, so your things like your urchins, your excavating parrotfish. So why look at budgets? Well, climate change has been identified as a fundamental reset priority for coral reefs globally and also for reefs at Ningaloo. Positive budgets we know are essential for the structural maintenance of coral reefs, and subsequently prolonged negative budgets have been linked to things such as declines in coral cover, structural complexity and fish abundance. So that's probably a fairly simplistic view, but it's what the literature indicates to date, and I'm sure as we learn more about it, we'll realise it's probably a whole lot more complicated. So our objectives in the last sort of 9 months have been to have a look and see if we can identify what the important producers and bioeroders are at our study locations, have a look at the spatial arrangement of production and bioerosion, have a look and see whether production is a good predictor of bioerosion, so are the trends similar in the bioerosion and production patterns, and then have a look at the spatial arrangement of the net budgets. So that's effectively the one side of the scale subtracted from the other side. So we've done this using a census-based approach, a modification of the reef budget methodology developed by Chris Perry. And what that does is it effectively comes up with an estimate of production for your major producing groups and an estimate of bioerosion for your major bioeroders. So what this figure here shows is it's ranking our 14 producing groups from most important up here, the Acropora, through to least important, and our eroders here, similarly. So this is the mean for all of our 126 study locations over the 2 years. And what we ended up with was a mean production of about 3.3 kilograms of calcium carbonate per metre squared per year, versus a mean bioerosion rate of 2.9 kilograms of calcium carbonate per metre squared per year. So we had a net positive budget as an average, but a fair bit of variability there. So the net budgets varied between, I think, of something like plus 13 kilograms per metre squared to minus 11. And our most important producers were the Acropora, so the relatively fast-growing hard corals, and the most important bioeroders were the excavating parrotfish, Chloroarus microrhinus, which was very abundant on the reef slope. But Echinometra matthei was also very important. So what was the spatial arrangement of production and bioerosion? So this plot here just shows production on the left and bioerosion on the right for the northernmost study locations. Low values are red and high values are dark blue for both. So in terms of production, it appeared that the Jarabi sites to the north had lower values, which was to be expected. The hard coral cover there is generally lower. In terms of bioerosion, it was a little bit more variable. Some of the Jarabi sites actually also had very high bioerosion, but many didn't. In terms of whether production was a good predictor of bioerosion, it wasn't. So this is just a scatter plot of the predicted production versus bioerosion. And what we found was we had lots of locations which had high bioerosion and low production, and vice versa. The spatial arrangement of the net budgets. So this is those same northern sites there on the left, and the more southern Osprey Bay sites here on the right. And these are the net budgets represented from very low values, minus 10 to minus 5 kilograms per meter squared in red, through to high values, 5 to 10. So what we see here is, again, it was very variable. Some of the lowest values for net budgets were recorded up here at Jarabi, and the highest budgets occurred at two locations, Reef Slope, Mangrove, in the passage at Mangrove on one of the patch reefs there, and quite a few locations on the reef slope at Osprey. So we had a look at the space arrangement using linear mixed effects models with seven covariates. So we looked at year, depth, reef, region, zoning, reef complexity, and water velocity. And using the linear modelling approach, only depth fell out as significant there. It was actually a negative relationship with depth. But we are hoping to use an additive model approach to review those results. So in terms of important producers and bioerodes, at this early stage, the fast-growing Acropora appeared to be particularly important at most of our locations. Mycorrhinus and Mattiae were the two most important bioeroders. The trends in production and bioerosion weren't necessarily similar. There was a poor correlation there. And the net budgets were found to be negative related with depth. And so that was down to sort of 10 to 12 metres.
Can you just clarify what you mean there? Is the budgets greater, deeper?
Negatively correlated. So as you get deeper, the budget decreases.